Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back to another hour of the Alan Nathan Show. It's not Alan Nathan, it's Karen Cataline. In the regular stable of guest hosts, I always enjoy doing this show when I get a chance, when I'm available, and I'm available today. Welcome, and this is the Main Street Radio Network. Well, I always love having on our next guest because I've known him for well over 20 years. We know each other personally, but he's gone on to be a pundit and an activist. I don't know, activist has been given a bad rap these days, but this next gentleman doesn't have a bad rap. He is former state senator Ted Harvey, chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President at StopJoe.com. He served as White House staffer under President Ronald Reagan, although you wouldn't think so because he doesn't look that old, and district office manager for Congressman Joel Heffley in Colorado, and he was also House representative in District 43. Welcome, Ted Harvey, to the Alan Nathan Show.
Hello, my friend. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It is always a pleasure. You have just a few things to say about the Durham report. So why don't you just tick them off for us? Tell us what's on your mind regarding the Durham report.
Well, it substantiated everything that most conservatives already knew, that the FBI and the CIA and the Obama administration and the Hillary Clinton campaign were doing everything they could to undermine the Trump campaign and whitewash the Hillary Clinton email scandal that I would argue my PAC, the Stop Hillary PAC, brought to light. They then did everything they could to use the Russia collusion story to undermine the Trump administration and implement a coup. And everybody in this country, I don't care whether you are a Republican, a Democrat, or unaffiliated, whatever, you should be outraged that the intelligence community of our government tried to overthrow a duly elected president of the United States, and they should be held accountable for it.
And I don't mean to take issue, you know, and nitpick, but undermine is a whole, is it undermine or is it frame? Did they frame a president for a phony charge in order to unseat him and topple him and destroy him, which they've continued to do since that point? Or was it undermined?
Well,
and
certainly
was it an abuse of power?
Running a two-year Mueller investigation was undermining his administration.
Yes.
They tied him up. They knew that there was nothing that he could do to get out from under this investigation, and that was instigated by the head of the FBI, James Comey. He said in testimony before Congress the reason why he leaked information to the Washington Post was that he hoped that it would result in a special prosecutor being appointed, and that's what happened. But the special prosecutor knew on day one that there was no crime there. Brennan, the head of the CIA, had met with President Obama and told him before the Trump administration even started that this was all started by the Clinton campaign and it was all an effort to alleviate the spotlight from Hillary Clinton's email issues.
Dirty Trump up.
You know? Right. And so in the end, it was to undermine, but they also were desperately hoping that he would try to obstruct justice. And then if he did obstruct justice in the investigation, they could really impeach him like they did with Nixon. And Trump opened up all of the books. He said, "Do you want to see what's been going on? Come in and look." And he defied the FBI and the CIA's efforts to try to implement a coup against a duly elected president.
Yeah. You know what, Ted? It seems like whenever you come on, you're always more optimistic and I'm pessimistic. But I want to ask you the question that just about everybody I have talked to or even friends say. It is sad to me, and I was talking about this in my monologue, that people are used to and have considered it a done deal that there will be no accountability for such high crimes and misdemeanors, if I can use that expression. Everybody knew it. It took, I'm horrified that Durham, I'm surprised he came up with the report anyway. It shouldn't take 5+ years to come up with it. There's been theories that the reason is so nobody would be held accountable, and that's why it took that long. The fact that people are used to people not, that the everyday citizens are used to people in Washington, in the deep state, in the swamp, not being held accountable is a really sad state of affairs. What say you?
It's a horrific state of affairs, and it tells you that we're no longer a government, a country of law and order, and we don't have an equal justice under the law. If you or I were to try to start a coup to undermine the president of the United States and overthrow the government, we would be put up in front of a firing squad. James Comey can do it. Bremer can do it. Other members of the FBI can do it. 52 former intelligence officers can sign a letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop is nothing more than Russia propaganda when they knew for a fact that it was real. They had the laptop since 2019 going into the 2020 election. Everybody knew it was a lie. It was an effort to overthrow the Trump administration. And like you, I don't believe anything will happen unless we have a Republican House, a Republican Senate that is made up of solid conservatives, and a Republican who will be committed to holding these people accountable. And I don't think there is any Republican out there that is committed to holding them accountable unless that person is Donald Trump, because he is not going to let this one lie. If he has a Republican House and a Republican Senate, there's going to be hell to pay.
And that's one of the reasons why they're going to do, and they are doing everything they possibly can to dirty him up, to have moneyed people challenge him. I mean, it's hilarious, really. Chris Christie, they're going to prop up. They're going to prop up Sununu of New Hampshire. They're propping up Pence. And of course, DeSantis, which is another story. Tim Scott already announced. And they're propping up these people who have virtually no support to run if they didn't have big money from Bushes and whomever else trying to unseat Donald Trump and to take away his support. It's an ugly state of affairs. Your thoughts on that? I was going to go the direction of a different. Your thoughts on that?
I think the deep state has proven since Donald Trump went down the escalator in 2015 that they are running scared, and they definitely proved over the term of President Trump's administration that they will do whatever it takes to stay in power and to hold power. And I am fearful for Donald Trump's life and what will happen between now and the inauguration in 2025, because I do believe Trump will run away with the nomination. And I think I don't see any way that any Democrat can beat him going into the election without absolute.
I've just got to interject this. Take a look at what KT McFarland said when she went on Maria Bartiromo, and I don't watch Fox News anymore, and said that already the FBI, the CIA, and the DOJ are in the business of rigging the 2024 presidential election after successfully rigging the 2016 and the 2020. Now, I've been asking you this nonstop every time you come on, and I'm probably a broken record, but to assume that people this dishonest aren't engaged in that is simply folly. I don't see anything on the horizon that is going to counteract that. Maybe you do. And we only have, God, do you see something powerful enough that's going to stop these people from rigging an election? Because an honest election, I was never very worried that Trump could win. Oh, God.
The American people getting off the couch and starting our revolution at the ballot box. If they're going to sit on the couch and not do anything, we will definitely lose. But I think if enough people get out, we can overcome whatever.
If you can flip votes with a flip of a switch, a lot of people are being discouraged from voting, and they shouldn't be. We'll talk more about that the next time I have you on. Ted Harvey, StopJoe.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll have more after this on The Alan Nathan Show.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge, will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
With more than 20 years as a professional celebrity hairstylist, Takesha Sturdivant Drew is ready to share her tips on how to properly manage textured hair. According to Takesha, shampooing and conditioning textured hair just isn't enough. Detangling hair should be a regular part of your hair care regimen, as textured hair is weakest when wet and more prone to breakage. Takesha recommends using a new hair care product called the Miracle Detangler by Gold Series from Pantene, which is specially designed for women with curly and coily hair. Celebrity stylist Takesha Sturdivant Drew.
Detangling is an important part of your hair care routine, especially for women with curly hair. I recommend Miracle Detangler by Gold Series from Pantene because every bottle is infused with argan oil, which helps detangle and soften curls. It removes knots for easier combing and leaving hair looking healthy and hydrated. When you use Miracle Detangler in the shower, the detangling time gets cut in half so you can get on with your day.
To learn more, visit Pantene.com.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And this next topic, as a former social worker, just gets me all upset or gets me all jumping up and down. And with us to discuss it is Vice President of Parents Defending Education. Her name is Carolyn Moore, and we have her right now. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Good to have you. So the Cincinnati Public Schools hides gender transitions, and I presume surgeries and whatever else, from parents, and the administration are advising them, the teachers and others, to report the parents for child abuse if they are unsupportive of this thing. So instead of the abusers being reported for doing things behind parents' back, which was in a sane country, now parents are being reported for child abuse if they don't go along with insanity. And I'm just going to say one more thing because I've got to get it in there. We as everybody, the culture had pushed on them the idea of trans kids, and nobody really said there is no such thing as trans kids. If people want to change their gender and have surgeries when they're at the age of consent, that's fine. You can't even diagnose a schizophrenic until they are at the age of consent and old enough to have developed, which they're not allowing kids to do. I had to get that out. Your turn, Carolyn Moore.
Yeah, so like you said, I mean, this is a very problematic issue. We've seen across the country, we have a list on our website, defendinged.org, a list of 847 school districts across the country. This is red states and blue states, that it affects 9.1 million kids and their families that have these policies about socially transitioning students behind the backs of parents. Now, like you said, the Cincinnati one, so that's just universally, that's happening all over the country. 9.1 million kids have policies like that at their schools, and parents don't even know about the policies. But like we said,
explain socially transitioning for people.
Sure. So socially transitioning would be a child somehow indicating to a guidance counselor or teacher that they don't feel comfortable in their own skin, and that they don't even have to say any more than that. And if there's something, if they say something like, you know, I actually think that I'm a boy, or I actually think that I'm a girl, just because, you know, they're a tomboy or whatever the case may be, whyever they feel this way, the teacher automatically, or the guidance counselor automatically affirms and says, yes, you are a girl, you are a boy. You know, what's wrong with you is you just don't fit in your own skin because you were born the wrong way. And once that happens, then a child works with the teachers or guidance counselors behind the backs of their parents to get things like, if you are a female, you can get something called a chest binder, which is like an ACE bandage. So you don't.
Target is selling them now.
Feminine. Yeah. Oh, they are.
Target is selling them now.
I've only seen the Pride, you know, swimsuits and that kind of stuff. I didn't see that's happening.
No. There are people that are calling for boycotts of Target. Should have a long, long time ago, because they are way woke. You know, because we have so little time, and it is an atrocity to charge parents for child abuse because they don't want their children to be messed with. They've been called domestic terrorists. They've been called abusers when the opposite appears to be true. What is this bandwagon that adults have for messing with children? What do you think is going on? Let's cut to the chase, really.
Really, I can't figure it out. It seems like a lot of teachers retired during COVID, and, you know, that's when we were started. We were starting in 2021 when parents were at home with their kids and seeing what their kids were learning and realizing, you know, this isn't, you know, the math and science I learned growing up. It seems like these teachers are asking kids about their moods and they're asking them about their genders. And so we've just kind of noticed these surveys and things going on in schools. And I think that, you know, maybe an older crop of teachers has retired and there are new people who are interested in these social issues. It also
No, but haven't they been indoctrinated by educational unions, teachers unions?
Yeah, so there's
then
also,
the point is
like,
why? Why are they being indoctrinated this way? Because this is an agenda. This isn't just, oh, I'm going to serve the child. This is, I can't wait to find the next supposed trans kid. That's what it is.
Oh,
but why?
Exactly. No, it's like a content bias, a viewpoint bias. I mean, it's a system where teachers want to find the next student who is, you know, different and will follow this agenda. I am not certain, other than school districts are, I mean, they're paying activists to teach them about how to be, how student body should be diverse and how we should promote equity and inclusion. And I think by, you know, having teachers go to these seminars on equity and inclusion, as opposed to focusing on the fundamentals of education, I think that that's where, you know, the priority for these school districts is. And so teachers, I think, not that they have the bandwidth to be dealing with this, but I think that they, you know, it seems to be in the forefront of their mind.
Well, I would go a step further, but I want to give you a chance to talk about what your organization is doing about this, about parents. You can't say no anymore. You can't say I don't approve anymore. No, we all have to get on the same bandwagon. And if we don't, we're persecuted. Just think about what Black Lives Matter and the radical left has said. Their job and their desire is to destroy the family unit. Can't have families if you don't have kids, right? So if you've got a man who, first of all, they're emasculating men, they're destroying the family, they're creating mental illness among children, indoctrinating them, dividing people away from their families and family of origin. It's divisive and it is criminal. What are you doing in your organization about this? And I would invite you to say it, if you choose to, outright, because we have to say what we think, even if you disagree. Most people, common sense, know that, you know, it's set now suddenly a crime to say there are two genders, even though they're erasing even homosexuality and femininity by saying there's no such thing as gender anymore. No such thing. How can you be a feminist and not be able to define what a woman is? See, you can tell I just get a little upset. Tell everybody they can find you and follow you and what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah, so our website is defendinged.org. And we have a Facebook page, you know, Twitter content that comes out. But what people can do is they can submit tips to us online. If you think that something strange is going on in your child's classroom, or if you think things are strange at a school board meeting, send it to us and we can expose it. We can file civil rights complaints.
Give that address real quick. Real quick. Give that address.
Oh, sure. It's just on our website. It's info@defendinged.org.
Defendinged.org. Okay. Carolyn Moore, thank you so much for joining us. We so appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. I'll settle down. And we'll have more of the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Lamar Giles, author of the legendary Alston Boys book series, is back with an all-new middle grade adventure novel about two very special twins with a big mystery to solve. In Epic Ellison's Cosmos Camp, Wiki and Lean Ellison head to a summer training camp for STEM prodigies. But they soon realize it's not all fun and games. It appears that someone has been tampering with the company's upcoming rocket launch. Now, the sisters are forced to go undercover, deal with hyper-competitive campers by day, and try to stop the mysterious saboteur by night. If they don't get their act together fast, their first epic adventure could end up an epic fail for the entire world. Author Lamar Giles.
I hope kids will enjoy all the action and thrills that are part of the Ellison's adventure. And I also hope they might be inspired by their smarts and resourcefulness to maybe consider furthering their own STEM education.
The new children's novel, Epic Ellison's Cosmos Camp, is now available wherever books are sold.
Catherine Applegate's beloved modern classic, The One and Only Ivan, about a very special gorilla, won several awards and was adapted into a hit movie on Disney+. A best-selling sequel, The One and Only Bob, followed the adventures of Ivan's friend Bob, a lovable dog. Now the story continues with The One and Only Ruby, starring an adorable baby elephant. In the new book, Ruby is living peacefully in a wildlife sanctuary. When she receives a visit from the orphanage caretaker in Africa where she grew up, memories, both happy and sad, come rushing back about her life before the circus. Recounting her story for Ivan and Bob, Ruby traces the events that brought her from her African savanna home to the sanctuary. Author Catherine Applegate.
Well, I hope Ruby's early memories will encourage readers to think about the dangers that elephants face, things like poaching and climate change. The One and Only Ruby is ultimately an uplifting, hopeful story that celebrates the joy of friendship.
The One and Only Ruby is now available wherever books are sold. National Book Award nominee in theater Sue Geisel, award-winning author Laurel Snyder, writes about a young girl discovering mysterious abilities in the new children's book, The Witch of Woodland. In this magical coming-of-age story rooted in Jewish folklore, Zippy McConnell tries to balance the daily stress of middle school, her looming bat mitzvah, and the fact that she happens to be a witch. Magic is the only thing that makes sense to Zippy, who's been casting spells since she was little. One day, after discovering a strange book in the library, Zippy conjures a beautiful girl named Miriam with wings like an angel. Now Zippy must figure out who Miriam is and where she came from. And when she does, she's hoping the rest of her life will fall into place too. Author Laurel Snyder.
I think a lot of young readers will identify with Zippy. She doesn't always relate well to others and often feels like she doesn't fit in. In Zippy's case, it's the power of magic that gives her the strength to find her true self. Hopefully, this book will help others find their magic as well.
Witch of Woodland is now available wherever books are sold.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. We are plugging right along with so many issues to talk about. And just remember, opinions are like derrieres. Everyone has one. And that doesn't mean we have to hate each other for disagreeing or persecute each other because somebody is dissenting. Our whole country has been built on the individual freedom and people disagreeing civilly. But somehow there are forces trying to get all of us to believe that there's only one way to think about everything. Let's resist that, shall we? Here to talk about the migrant crisis, which is an interesting way of putting it, is Dr. Rick Mehta, healthcare professor with Georgetown University, former FDA official, and former Republican senatorial candidate. Thanks, Dr. Mehta, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me back.
Yes, yes. Well, Eric Adams is being punished by Biden for criticizing his lack of leadership. Well, I mean, he is leading. He's leading open borders on the migrant crisis. What say you?
I think he's being criticized for his honesty. I think for the first time, Mayor Adams has taken a step back. He's getting a lot of slack from his actual constituents who are saying that the migrant crisis, where migrants that are coming to this country illegally, that are being bused to New York City through the ports, and that are now being his responsibility to be taken care of, is actually exacerbating the already serious crisis that New York City is facing with homelessness, rampant rise in crime, and the expenditure of billions of dollars in order to take care of this. They literally don't have a place to put all of these migrants that are flooding through our southern border that are then being bused to New York City. And so because he's criticizing the president, saying that Kamala Harris and President Biden didn't do their job, he's being ostracized from the Democrat Party for finally speaking the truth. Amazing.
And I want to ask in a minute, how is he being? Let us know how. But I'm looking at one article, and this is the New York City mayor who took over for the last disaster of a New York mayor. Migrants, quote, should be sent to every city throughout the entire country. So he's not taking issue with a wide open borders policy. He just thinks it should be distributed so that every state has to deal with illegal aliens, something that none of us either voted for and is a violation of the federal government's constitutional duties. So how is Eric Adams being ostracized, who didn't even criticize that?
Right. Well, you know, listen, you know, the Biden administration and President Biden himself, you know, they kind of work like a mafia, right? You're either in or you're out. And in this case, because he was critical, speaking up against the policies of having migrants come to New York City and then double backed and said, well, you know, it's okay if the migrants come as long as they're being, dispersed all throughout the country. He was actually disinvited from being on the president's team to stump for him, joining the Democrats on a national advisory board, and basically being pushed out of favor among the key top Democrat policy makers and influencers. So it's interesting here, you know, arguably, the mayor of one of the most powerful cities in our country and obviously very Democrat run speaks out against the irresponsibility of how migrants are coming in. Notwithstanding, by the way, listen, we know that the public health emergency was lifted, but what no one is talking about is the public health impact that these migrants now have on our American communities here. And Mayor Adams has to tackle that. You know, he was criticized because he wanted to put migrants into school facilities, you know, into the gyms of public schools, and there was a major controversy and a protest happening, and he finally doubled back and said, no, you know, we won't do that. But, you know, legal migrants that come to our country have almost 15 to 20 different vaccination schedules, testing that they have to do. And those that come across the border illegally through our country are not subject to CDC regulations and requirements now that are being bussed. We don't know what the public health impact is going to be had. And now you're talking about housing them in public schools and in the gyms of public schools where children might be potentially exposed. And we're not talking about some. We're talking about over 60 to 70,000 migrants just in New York City alone over the last couple months. You know, this is a major crisis he has on his hand with no housing to be had, notwithstanding the homelessness issue that he's had to face and tackle and, you know, contend with. This is a real issue where they have no plan, and it's just a lot of finger pointing going on right now.
Yeah. Well, we've all seen what this certain radical cabal of leftists does when you go against them, when you oppose them. You know, is it far behind that a Democrat mayor of New York City who opposed something in his own party will soon be accused of being a Russian asset?
That seems to be the MO of the Biden administration,
doesn't it?
Either you're with us or you're against us. And not only are you against us, but, you know, you're a commie or some kind of foreign traitor. Yeah. You know, we joke about
that.
Well,
they are definitely behaving like commies. I mean, that's what communists and totalitarian regimes do, of course. They put down dissent. Anybody who isn't watching, of course, you know, there are a lot of people who are not watching that dissent is being put down. You're not allowed to disagree. God forbid you should say there are two genders instead of Heinz 57 variety, and you are a threat against democracy, whatever that means, because we are a republic. So what else do you want to say about this Eric Adams issue? We have about 2 minutes for you.
Well, I will, like I said, double down on the hypocrisy that's been created by this situation. Remember, Title 42 was a COVID-era policy meant to oust migrants more quickly, more efficiently, primarily because the CDC couldn't cover the health status, right? And if you look at it just objectively from a public health perspective, you know, the migrants that are flooding our borders could be deleterious to our nation's public health. No one yet, the CDC and others, are not talking about that. You know, it's almost like they're ignoring it. And again, we're not talking about COVID. We're talking about mumps, measles, rubella, polio, tetanus, pertussis. The list goes on. Right now, our hospitals are still flooded with RSV cases. This could be a potential issue as we then roll past the summer into the seasonal flu area. We don't know what's coming in. It's hard to track, you know, not for anything, but the public health impact of this for other diseases, something that we have to grapple with, especially when you're housing them into urban areas like New York City. Mayor Adams is right in this case. You know, they don't have a plan. He has to deal with it, and he has to shoulder the blame that's happening. It's unfortunate, but until we have someone who can control the border, until we have someone who can step up and say, you know, we got to protect American citizens first, this is going to create, I think, this is the start of probably something worse that's going to happen.
Dr. Mehta, couldn't we call a public, it may be expanding definitions, which the left does all the time, but we haven't even talked about runaway rampant crime in cities that already have rampant crime because, gee, we ought to defund the police. So now we have not only unvetted medical issues, we have unvetted criminal issues. We have seen law-abiding citizens, innocent citizens of every shape, race, and creed and color, the victims of unvetted illegal aliens in this country committing crimes. No?
Absolutely. We have to tackle that, and it's a real issue.
Yeah. Dr. Rick Mehta, healthcare professor with Georgetown University, thank you so much for joining us. We have one more guest to wrap up the show, and I'll tell you about him when we come back. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
From 12-year-old trans activist Kai Shapley comes a timely and inspirational story about living life to the fullest. Inspired by Shapley's own life, the new middle grade novel Joy to the World is a story about courage, resilience, and celebrating trans joy. In the book, Joy, a 12-year-old trans girl, moves to Texas with her mother and older brother. Her family has accepted Joy as the girl she is, leaving Joy to explore her love of sports, teamwork, and competition. But when she's kicked off the cheerleading team, Joy fights for her right to cheer. As her battle with the school board escalates, Joy attracts support from kids around the country, as well as her hero, trans activist Kai Shapley. Author and activist Kai Shapley.
Since I was in kindergarten, I've been standing up for trans kids against people who are trying to take away our rights. I wanted to write a book about a girl just like me, who is determined to continue doing what she loves and who wants to live her life with joy.
Joy to the World is now available wherever books are sold.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and a new report warns of worsening mental health for U.S. teens and young adults. Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, Chief Medical Officer for the Jed Foundation, says awareness and fostering connections is a crucial step toward change.
Suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people 10 to 34 in our country. And recent data from the Centers for Disease Control show that over 40% of high school students are dealing with persistent feelings of sadness. The mental health of young people is a serious issue that requires attention and action.
Possible warning signs may include changes in behavior, mood swings, and withdrawal from friends and family.
The Jed Foundation offers resources to create communities of care. One of the ways we do that is by providing high schools and colleges with an equitable and comprehensive approach to mental health and suicide prevention. We also equip young people to help themselves and each other. And finally, we provide help-giving resources for caring adults.
Learn more at jedfoundation.org/MHAM2023.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries.
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Ellen Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline. We're wrapping up this hour with someone who Alan knows, I think, personally, and he's a friend of the program, CEO of Jordan Winery, lawyer and Fox News contributor, John Jordan joins us. Thank you for joining us, John. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, great. Good to have you. Probably in your wine cellar, right?
No, actually not today.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we're real glad that we got you. And, the weight of the Durham report seemed interminable. And I have said this before, that nowadays there's an atrocity that's committed, God forbid, of a terrible crime or a shooting of many people. And suddenly we know exactly who did it and why, because there's a media narrative that gets put out there. And yet the Durham report took five plus years to report what everybody knew. What say you about this, and what did you think when the report came out?
Well, it was damning for the FBI. And the good news here, I suppose, is that the leftist narrative on so many regime media outlets is collapsing. Even NBC and CNN are having to admit this. And what's politically important is the collision between reality and narrative. And narrative is losing badly. And you're starting to see that reflected in polls. The Harvard-Harris poll showed that about 59% of people understand that that there was no collusion. So it's really crashing through, and the same number of people now believe and understand that the Hunter Biden laptop story was suppressed. So all of these narratives are collapsing in on themselves, but the media is still got their head in the sand in many ways, even though they're having to painfully acknowledge it. They are still pretending that they're not adjusting course. What they're trying to do is bury stories, but it's not working.
Yeah, John, when you said, wait a second. I took notes while you were talking, and now I can't find them. I guess I didn't have that at hand. You said, right, the media is having to admit. I wish you were right on that, but I'm going to take issue with you, because if the media... the propaganda media, which is most of the legacy media today, when there's something that they come up against that they can't answer, that they can't defend or respond to, they simply ignore it. They don't admit it. I haven't seen them. There's these wonderful memes in, I don't know if you've ever seen The Week in Pictures, these cartoons that say they couldn't find it with both hands. If it doesn't fit the narrative, they simply don't report it. What do you say about that?
I'm not saying that there's a wholesale admission and mea culpas and Pulitzer Prizes
they don't
are
even
being
report
returned.
It. Yeah.
No, they don't. They try to memory hole it as best they can. But the analogy that I'm drawing here is there's cracks. That the media is realizing that they have an enormous credibility problem, and some of them are just starting to be forced to admit it because they understand that the public doesn't believe them or trust them anymore. So it's a process, but there are cracks. And more to the point, though, Karen, and this is the important part, is that the public's starting to see through it now, and the memory holding isn't working as well as it did. So there's hope, but there are serious cracks in the dam with regard to media behavior. But the big takeaway here is that the public is seeing through it.
Exactly. You got any more good news for us? I'll tell you what, as a talk show host, John Jordan, it's harder and harder to find good news. So what else, since we're wrapping up the show with you, that you're finding is good news?
There is good news. You look at, like I said, that the public no longer believes the media narratives. I mean, even 40% of Democrats in that same survey understand that now. It's going to be harder for the media to try to spin and come up with new things when they know their own credibility is starting to crack. There is an awareness of that. on the media side, and the public is for sure aware of it. You also look at head-to-head polls, for example, between Republicans, whether it's Trump or specifically Trump versus Biden. And now you're seeing several polls now which are mirroring that ABC poll, which caused such a stir in Democrat that they tried to write off, and some tried to write off as an outlier. But now you're seeing it confirmed by other ones, with Trump ahead in head-to-head matchups by 7 points in a most recent one, which mirrors that ABC poll of about 10 days ago.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, and this goes to what you just said, and I think it is good news, but being the eternal realist I am, did you happen to see the, there's an article by Jim Hoft reporting that KT McFarland said thusly, she said, the FBI, the CIA, and the DOJ will rig 2024 presidential election after successfully rigging 2016 and 2020. Isn't it true that the whole notion of what's popular or not popular in the public sphere and the polls and who's getting a clue and who's not is immaterial if you can rig an election?
Well, first of all, the left failed to rig 2016. And while they were successful in rigging 2020 and using a variety of technique, tactics, it's going to be harder this time because the spotlight is on them. And there is now daylight between what the media says, you know, or is fed to them by the FBI and others. It's going to be harder for them to do that because the public no longer buys into whatever the media says, which is basically amplifying whatever themes, you know, for example, the FBI wants to propagate or the deep state wants to propagate. So it's going to be a lot harder this time.
Well, I hope you're right. I do. Talking about like the Dominion voting systems, a lot of people, and this too has to do with elections and whether it's possible if election machines are connected to the internet, how difficult is it to change votes? Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm not being too much of a computer expert. You know, there's always that risk. But there's also the risk of ballot box stuffing, ballot harvesting, and a number
yes,
of other ways to cheat.
Without a doubt.
There's more than one way to go on that.
John Jordan, sorry, I didn't realize how short a time we have. We got to leave it there. Thank you for joining us. We so appreciate it. That does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today. And oh, there's so much more to talk about. So stand up, stay strong, and speak out.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.